righty. Sabbath of blessings, Sabbath of blessings, everyone. How's that sound? Can you guys hear me? How is it? I think it's coming in. You know me, I done made a mistake a few times of not plugging this thing in all the way. Okay, all right. All right. That's good. That's good. That's good. Because I have done that. I'll be over here just talking away, and I'm looking like, what's going on? It's not going up and down on the modulator, and I'm looking like, oh, okay, it's not plugged in. And it has definitely happened. So that is good. That is plugged in all the way. Hope you guys are staying warm, because I know in my neck of the woods, it is cold. Oh, my goodness, it is cold. It is cold. That temperature is dropping. And my mom had shared earlier this week, she had sent me a couple of videos, like Monday and Wednesday. Really, right before I went to work, she said, son, look at this. And it was snow on her car. This is in Mississippi. This is in Mississippi, where snow is a rarity. It just, we don't get it down there as often as we do, but twice that week, they got some snow. And I'm sure if there was some type of rainfall here, it would definitely be in this area, which was kind of strange, because earlier this weekend, and even yesterday, we got a lot of rain, but just wasn't cold enough for anything to come down. Now, today, that's different. It is definitely cold, but the forecasters have not predicted, so to speak, any type of rainfall in my area. And I am here in Georgia. I'm here in Georgia. And as far as streaming, oh, man, this computer, I need to get a better computer. I typically use my phone to get, like, articles, do my research, and I use my netbook to keep up with the text chat in the stream. And I have this one computer here in the front room that I just dedicate just for talking on the turbo meeting. But what I did discover is I was sharing some articles with a YouTuber, and I had posted this in the Telegram last week. I was sharing some articles, and the YouTuber had asked me, would you like to do a live stream after Sabbath? And I was like, sure. you're talking my language. So sure enough, I think I saved it. It was, I think it was called StreamMate, I believe, but you use that, and I don't know how they had it set up, but I was able to talk on YouTube through their stream that they had set up. It was like it was like a little split screen where they were talking, and then I was talking, and we're kind of going back and forth, and then I just went to a point where I was just going on and on and on, and then I realized we were talking for like 2 hours. So that may be, you know, an avenue that I may be seeking here in the future, and seeing that based on pastor's recommendation, you may be seeing me do some more live streams on YouTube, which is something to be, you know, you got to kind of be careful with YouTube, obviously, because strikes, they want to just hit everybody with everything, and with all the censoring of truth that is going on right now. You have to be very, very, very careful. But I could not, you know, resist the invite. I had to go up there and talk. And they had messaged me in the middle of the week and said, oh, your video, you coming on, it really, really helped. Really, really helped bring more views. So I'm going to look forward to more invites going up there, and I'm seeing what I can, you know, talk about. It's just seeing the headlines, the articles throughout the week, and just kind of sharing like we do here. And this week has been, oh man, this is just, I don't know where to even begin. Before I go off on my little, you know, tangent, so to speak, Arthur, I had no idea you were in South Carolina. I had no idea you were there, man. I mean, I lived in South Carolina for the past 10 years. I don't know if you're familiar with the Beaufort Hilton Head area, but that's where I live. I live there. You know, it's not too far from Savannah. It takes about an hour from where I was living at, about an hour to get to Charleston, about two to get to Columbia. I have a cousin that lives in Columbia. So, yeah, man, South Carolina, I'm all over. That's where we had a convocation in 2016, right up north of Greenville. And it was beautiful. I mean, the waterfall there, brethren got baptized. I think we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago here in church. And I want to take the kids. I want to go back. I want to go back when it's a little warmer. Because, yes, it was beautiful, but it was cold. It was cold. It was cold. And I talked to my kids. You know, anybody that knows me, anything below 70 is an issue. It is an issue because I grew up in a warm climate. And anything below 70, it is a problem. But I don't mind it being here, kind of get accustomed to being in a colder environment versus South Carolina. Which is now I know, you know, being away now, I kind of understand why people, you know, come there to retire. They come there. They love the area. They love the climate. They love it. Right next to Florida, a lot of the older people being in that area to settle in, settle down. But I had no idea. I had no idea. Yes, that's the other thing about Carolina, which I find it kind of interesting. Like right when I leave, these things happen as far as restrictions. They were wide open. They were wide open concerning the masks. Like going into the stores, there wasn't no issues at all. They're very, very lax concerning vaccines. Extremely lax. If you had a child in public school, all they had to do was just go to the local health department, and any type of exemption they had, a medical exemption or religious exemption, and you would go. They wouldn't question you on as far as your beliefs. They wouldn't question you on much. You would just say, hey, I got a kid in public school. I'm against vaccines. And they would give you a piece of paper. You would take it up when you go register your child. And sure enough, your child would not have to receive vaccines to attend public school or any school. You know, a lot of states require vaccines, even if you're going to go like a charter school. And I'm not quite familiar with a lot of the homeschool, but South Carolina, they was, you know, very, 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 very lax. The homeschools there, they would work with you. They had groups that they would favor as far as, you know, you want to homeschool your child. So there were a lot of, you know, advantages, a lot of advantages in that state. And now I believe I think I came across this the other day about how they want to pass legislation not to make vaccines mandatory in South Carolina. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nikki Haley. Oh, yeah. She was awesome. She was awesome. She was extremely awesome. But I have no idea what this new guy is doing. Henry, he wanted to shut down the state when that last hurricane came through in my area. That was nothing. I mean, it didn't even rain. You look on the weather map, and the map had the cone where I was at lit up red, and then it just kept moving up further north. And praise God on that, because a lot of the damage kind of went further up towards like the northern part of North Carolina, and it kind of avoided us completely. And for a time, it was getting like hurricane warnings to evacuate, I think 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 19, and 20, and 20. Oh, yeah. A lot of things changed after Nikki Haley left. But she was awesome. She was awesome towards conservatives. She really had the people's interest in mind. And I don't know if that's changed now that she's moved up, but this new guy there, oh, man, he's a work. He is definitely a piece of work. I'll just leave it as that. And speaking of work, I just completed my first week at this new place of employment. And yesterday I was approached by one of the supervisors there and a manager. And this was going toward the end of the day. And I noticed there was some chatter going around among some of the employees. I kept hearing things about, you know, working on Saturday. They kept bringing it up, And I kind of thought to myself, I was like, okay, when I interviewed, that was something that wasn't mentioned right away. It was not mentioned. And I do know about the overtime being mandatory, but, you know, I didn't suspect that would be an issue Monday through Friday, seeing what time I'm, you know, getting off. It would never go into the Sabbath. But then I heard the chatter. I was like, okay, I know they're not going to do what I think they're going to do. But I was approached. About an hour before the time to leave, by the manager, and he had asked me, and it was a quick no. It was a very, very quick no. But then another one, it came by, and he had asked, and I had to reject him as well. So on that line, I'm pretty sure that it's going to occur again. So please, brethren, keep me in prayer, because that is something that is a no deal for me, as with many of you all. When it comes to employment, they're going to test you on the Sabbath. They're going to test you, and you have to be ready. You have to be ready to give an account. You have to be ready, because your voice is going to be a witness to many. They're going to ask, I'm like, well, why do you not want to work on Saturday? I mean, you already got your 40 hours for the week, so why not get the overtime? Why not get the extra, you know, cash or whatever? They're going to ask you. They're going to test you. And that's when you come. That's when you speak and not be afraid. And I know it is going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And I'm just, Lord, just give me the tongue. Give me the words to say, to talk to these people, and to be able to tell them, and that they're understanding of the reason why. Especially if it comes up, well, the religion. Well, what about Sunday? Everyone goes on Sunday. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That's not the day that God set aside and sanctified and blessed and made holy. No, it's not Sunday. That is man's. That is man. It is not the day. So when that occurs, and it will occur, it's going to occur for many of us, that especially how things are just, oh man, they're going so fast. They're going so fast. Definitely want to praise God. I'm getting some of my family members who are now seeing things. They're questioning what's going on. And I got one of my cousins who's a preacher. We talk all throughout the week, and he's starting to kind of, see some of the things that I'm sharing with them as far as prophetic fulfillment. And definitely want to praise God for him now seeing that a lot of those holidays, we discussed the holidays on the East, the Christmas, a lot of these holidays, he's starting to see, like, oh, you know what? Maybe there is something to these things. I'm like, yeah, we shouldn't be. I know we grew up in this stuff because that's how we grew up. We were raised in it. We were raised in the Christmas. We was raised in the Easter. We were raised in even Halloween. We were. But you have to go out and do the research. You have to go out and search this stuff. You have to see what it is. And not only see it, but believe it. Question everything. And the Bible speaks often about trusting no man. Don't trust them. Also talks a lot about deception, especially now in the latter days. If the enemy is going to come in to see the whole world. I mean, there's a meme, I'm sure we all seen it, with this little kid, and Sister Martha, she just sent it to me again. I've seen it 100 times, but this kid, he's sitting on Santa Claus' lap. And the kid asked him, he asked Santa Claus, so where are you at in the Bible? And Santa Claus says the part that says Satan deceived the whole world. And they are grand deceptions upon us right now, which kind of, thinking about next week, thinking about it, I just kind of, when Brother Nick talked about the whole 119 ministries. And we know that a lot of these groups are, they practice, you know, a lot to deal with numbers and occultism. I don't get into none of that stuff. I just don't. I looked at something that someone sent me the other day with this little Ouija board, but they changed it from, I guess, all the, you know, symbols that they normally would have on a Ouija board. I've only seen one once in my entire life, and I was maybe like 6 or 7, and one of my cousins had it, and when they were, you know, messing around with that thing, I had no idea what it was. I was like, I don't know. That just looks kind of weird. So definitely want to be thankful for not want to, you know, go into that, you know, realm, so to speak. But there was one on Amazon where they, you know, flipped it around, and instead of like, I guess, the occult symbols, they put like angels instead and call it like a little angel board. I'm like, that's the same thing. It is the exact same thing. I mean, it had the little thing that you move around and you know, ask questions and all of that, but you just change it to an angel board. And I think Sister Lynn had mentioned that it's still the same thing. People not realizing that demons are fallen angels. That's what they are. That's exactly what they are. And they put this out here for people to buy. It's on Amazon. They put it out there and promote it. All this spiritualism, it's running rampant, which was also prophesied that spiritualism would run rampant in our day. And it is. It absolutely is. I mean, it is on another level. And we're just seeing so much, like, it's, where do you begin? Where do you begin with everything that's going on? So I put a lot of focus into D.C. Put a lot of focus into it. You know, looking at... It's just... You don't know. I mean, you look at all this, like, what is they going to gain with this whole Trump, Biden? What is there to gain? I mean, you know that these men are put into place to carry out their duties as they're ordered. But so many people get caught up into the fact, believing that Trump is going to come in, he's going to, you know, drain the swamp, and here it is with just a few days left in his presidency. Just a few days left. And my big thing with him in the beginning was his entire campaign. And this is something I stay on. His entire campaign was centered around putting Hillary Clinton in jail. That was his entire campaign. I'm going to lock her up. I'm going to lock her up. I'm going to lock her up. As soon as he becomes elected. He becomes elected, they had an inauguration dinner, and she's there, and he's, like, congratulating her. I mean, just for a wonderful, you know, campaign, all that good stuff. And everything that they talked about, everything he talked about, nothing came out of it. Absolutely nothing. Same thing with him on vaccines. During his campaign, oh, vaccines, they cause autism, I'm totally against them. I don't want anything to do with him, and now... He's the president that locked us down. Operation Warp Speed. I mean, why do people put so much confidence and trust in men? In men. When we have the Word of God right here before us. We have a God who's never changed. The same in the beginning, going to be the same in the end. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet these men constantly change. They constantly lie to fit their own agendas, their own interests. They say the right things to get to the people, to get their vote. And even this year, I mean, concerning the vote, with all the massive amounts of fraud and how it was rigged and destroying ballots and dead people voting, like, what is all of this? What is the point? What are they trying to gain? I'm just sitting back and I just observe, like, wow, it is unreal. It is absolutely unreal what I'm witnessing. So I'm, like I said, I'm keeping an eye on DC, keeping an eye on DC, you know, looking at several videos. A lot of them are people who are on social media who are there, just walking up and down the streets, getting footage of what they can. And from what I'm seeing, D.C. looks like a war zone. It looks like a war zone, brethren. There are troops all up in it. And they are setting up checkpoints left and right. And these are not just like little roadblocks that you would see that your local police would set up for, like, you know, drunk drivers to check out their license. Like, no, these things are fortified. They have, Humvees. They have these heavily armed MRAPs. All the soldiers, they are armed with the M16s, the M4s, SAWs. They are there, and they are in position. And the way they have these things set up is these are not just for cars. These are like for civilians. If you're walking through certain areas, then you're going to be checked. Now, I remember going to Philadelphia and how they had the checkpoint set up there to go, I think when we went to that World Meeting of Families, and they had all those checkpoints set up for the Pope. But they would just have like little metal detectors, but you couldn't go through. They had to search all your bags, your belongings, and all that good stuff. But this is a little different. It's a little different. I mean, these things, and my thing is, why would you have all of this? If this election was legit, if Joe Biden won fair and square, why would you have all of this? What is the point? What is the purpose of having it? I mean, we saw and experienced almost 7 months of riots via Antifa, via Black Lives Matter, and we saw a side who was pushing them to do more, to go out and commit even more violence, more atrocities, to continue to burn, to make sure that your voice is heard. 7 months. Yet what happened on the 6th was just a few hours, and is being described as some of the most heinous crime ever in United States history. In history. The way they are painting a certain group as outright terrorists. And if you don't think that this can happen to you and I, you see how they're, pushing this towards the president, so to speak, by the things they're doing, by banning his accounts, his social media, his Twitter, his Facebook, or his bank accounts, going in and just completely shutting them down, saying that we're no longer going to do business with him. And there are multiple corporations that are doing these. Keyword, corporations. These are also the same corporations who are going around with the mask mandates or are enforcing them. Enforcing social distancing, saying that you can, shop with us unless you wear this mask. So can you see where this is going, brethren? Can you see where this is going? If they can do this to the president, supposedly, because, in my eyes, it's all a bunch of theater. It's all a bunch of theater. To get the people to, hate certain groups. Trump was like the perfect guy they could use to split the country or to divide the country. The perfect guy, because you have so many people that love him and you have so many people that hate him. I see this even when I share links or articles with certain family members. Even though I've expressed myself verbatim, I don't vote. I've never been involved with politics. Even when Obama had his campaign, yes, it was a good thing that he was going around because he always was a black man, and it was easy to get caught up in that hype. And for a second, I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should, do it just because, he's black and historic. But just something just would not push me to do it. It wouldn't push me to do it. And this is the same president that put Muslims and gays on the forefront. You can speak something about all these presidents, even the past 20 years. I mean, Bush, Twin Towers. And then Clinton, those executive orders that are on the books, that if a national emergency is declared, which Trump just did. He just did. The media's not talking about it, but he just did this. Very quietly, he just did it. The office of the presidency is turned over to the military. And it's amazing that we have all these troops in D.C. right now. What are they setting up? What do they know? You know, while I was doing my job search here where I'm at, I came across a few that were interesting. So I'm not too far from a base. I'm not too far. I was actually looking into some opportunities near a base because I know that a lot of the civilian sectors support the bases as far as their gear, as far as supplies, et cetera, et cetera. What I found interesting is that there was an ad for a training battalion who was hiring civilians to be part of a special operation. Special operation. It was only going to last 1 week. 1 week. And to sum it up, you would be there to simulate like a civilian distress, so to speak. They would have you play a role. You would either be like just a normal civilian. You would be one that was there to agitate or cause insurrection. Each one had a role, and you would be there for an entire week. But the operation was to be held at nighttime. At nighttime. Like, well, that's just strange. I just thought that was kind of weird. And it was going to last 1 week, and the last day was today. So it began at the beginning of this week and ended this week, leading up to the inauguration, which is next week. And I didn't just come across that ad just here. I was finding it in various military bases where they were doing this. So now we have soldiers who are training against you and I, civilians. And this is not the first time they've done this. I think I talked about this about a month or two ago, where soldiers were actively training to arrest and detain citizens. Citizens, regular people. This is why we have a president or president-elect who had just spoke about those who had went up to that little Capitol riot, this is what they keep calling it, and he labeled them as domestic terrorists. And as we talked about on last week, I believe, or maybe the week before, DHS classified domestic terrorists. They redefined them, basically as conservatives. Basically as conservatives, those who believe in a man and a woman marriage, those who are totally against abortion, those who believe in a right to bear arms, and those who believe in God. They have been labeled as terrorists. As terrorists. So you see these people who went up to these riots. A lot of them are now being arrested and not being detained. And not only that, they are having their lives flipped upside down. So can you see how this whole social credit is now being brought? It's slowly being wheeled in. Slowly being wheeled in. What you believe, the things you post, are now being used against you. Are now being used against you in a manner where Satan wants people to be fearful to speak the truth, to talk about the truth. Anything that goes against the narrative of what the mainstream is putting out there, he wants it down, he wants it destroyed. Now, right now it's dealing with, things that we see in D.C. concerning the election, and it won't be long before more and more and more concerning COVID. I just saw another article concerning another strain, another weird strain of COVID. But you see all this is going on. You see it. And this is what, you know, Biden is pushing. This is what Kamala is pushing. Even though a part of me actually believes that he won't even see the chair. This is just me. This is just me speaking. I don't have any kind of concrete proof or evidence. This is just me speaking that I really believe that we're going to see some things next week that's going to be, you know, country shifting. Country shifting. I mean, the vice president elect, Kamala, she has never resigned her Senate seat. Why? She hasn't. This should have been done. Been done. But why hasn't she? Unless we not forget that the government has the legal right to lie to the people. The legal right to lie to the people. It was under Obama's watch in 2012. Remember that Smith-Mundt Act? If I'm saying that right. But the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. This allows the government, through the media, to push any agenda, any narrative, no matter what it is, no matter if it's valid, no matter if it's the truth, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to happen or even happen at all. It can be whatever they want to push to the people through by every means. It's straight propaganda, and this propaganda is legal by the government. This is where a lot of people get caught up in a trick bag concerning like Republicans and Democrats, because they had an opportunity to repeal this. This is in 2012. Here it is 2021. So 9 years had an opportunity to repeal this. Yet we're still seeing the media push these lies. To this day, we're still seeing it. If you turn on the TV now, you will be absolutely disgusted, because every 5 seconds you're going to see something pertaining to COVID, 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 non-stop, non-stop. Everything is about COVID, COVID, about the vaccine, despite all these people who are coming up injured from this vaccine. I think Norway just had, what, 23 people die from the vaccine? Die? Or I came across another one with this lady, I think her son had posted this on Facebook, where she had got the vaccine and she could barely walk. I mean, her legs just started convulsing. And the people were going and say, oh, that was fake, that was fake, that was fake, that wasn't real. So he got up there and he was like, no, that is my mother. That was my mother, and I was there, and I watched this. I watched this. And I was a guy who, you know, every year concerning my children, this is him speaking, concerning my children and my family, we would get the vaccine. We would get all the vaccines, flu shots, all that good stuff. But this right here completely changed everything. Completely changed everything. We will not, under my control, the people that I could control, speaking to his family, my wife, my kids, will not get this vaccine. Sometimes it takes something, you know, to happen. A lot of people are not affected by what goes on in their day-to-day lives. No matter, you can give them, you know, the prophecies. You can give them the tracts, the books. You can put it right there in their faces. But they are not affected until something directly happens to them. And sadly enough, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take for a lot of Americans to actually wake up until it actually affects them. It hits them at home. I mean, there are countless parents. You see the videos and the testimonies who are all for the vaccine, sending their kids, you know, to school, getting the shots, and et cetera, et cetera. Until their kid comes home and he's got autism, but he can't walk and he can't speak. Then they begin to question, and they understand, like, whoa, something isn't right. I had a perfectly healthy child. Now, all of a sudden, my child has issues. Why? Why? And the vaccine manufacturers, they have no liability, none. I mean, if these things are so safe and effective, then why would you put in these indemnity clauses where you cannot be sued? There's no lawsuit against you or what you do. If your vaccine causes me physical harm, but you're forcing me to get it. It absolutely makes no sense. No sense at all. But they know these things are dangerous. They're dangerous. They know this. This is why they put these, you know, high-profile figures on live TV. And praise the Lord, we have all these different YouTubers who are spotting this. They're looking and like, oh, this, you know, Biden didn't get this shot. This syringe is empty. Or this syringe right here was spring-loaded. He didn't get this. So now we have even one of the most high-profile figure here on the earth, the one who was worshipped and adorned, the Pope. This just came across my desk early this morning. I didn't know this. It might have been already posted in the Telegram. But I didn't know this, that the Pope had gotten his COVID shot. Francis has gotten his COVID shot, and now he is telling Catholics it is their moral duty to get the COVID vaccine. And I'm going to read this. I didn't really like look into it, but I'm going to read this. I'm going to see how they are spinning this article here. It says, Pope Francis has received his first dose of the Pfizer vaccine, the Vatican has announced. Now, did he just get arrested? During those nights of those blackouts? But this is how, you know, you see one thing, and then you look at another, and like, well, something's just not right. Something's just not bouncing right. But it says the 84-year-old pontiff was among the first of the Vatican's 450 residents to get the jab as the nation state began its vaccine rollout on Wednesday. Even there, they just put a prophetic statement right there, nation state, church state, right there, right there in this article. It is the only entity on earth that fulfills the prophecy of the first beast of Revelation. Right there, church and state mixed together right there in the Vatican. And here he is, all he has a little mask on, and he's showing this room that he was in. It looks like a torture chamber. I'm going to put this in the Telegram later. I say, Pope Francis, who only has one lung, I guess they got to, you know, give the sympathy clause there, you know, make you feel sorry for the Pope there. I don't know. Boy, that's just how they spin these articles. It's amazing. Who has only one lung after the other was removed due to an infection while he was a teenager in Argentina, has called on all Catholics to follow his lead, calling it an ethical duty. You're right. This is what they do. They'll say this, Brother Duane, they'll say it. But let me see it. Let me actually witness it. They'll say this stuff. Nobody sees it. And I guarantee, even they do it, I guarantee you the same shot that they're getting is not the same one that that they want to give to you and I, that's killing people, that's injuring people. I promise you it's not the same one. These people are probably getting saline injections. It could just be nothing there. It just could be water. They're not going to get the same thing because they know what time it is. They know what's inside of it. They know what it's doing to people. They know the genocide is suspected. They know the massive illness, injuries, and deaths that are to follow. They know this. So the odds that this was real, the odds that he received the actual Moderna or Pfizer vaccine is slim to none. Exactly. It's all about deception. It's all about deception. And the enemy is going to constantly lie. Constantly lie to the people. Like, oh, the Pope can take it. And this is the vicar of the Son of God. Well, if you are the vicar of the Son of God, why are you even taking vaccines in the first place? Why? You should be out there advocating for Jesus. With the Son of God walking around with a needle in his arm, and say, hey, the people, you're gonna need this shot here. You're gonna need this. You're gonna need this. You know, you have this issue. You have this leprosy. You have this blindness, this deafness. You know, you're gonna need this vaccine here. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not going to use things that are made by man to heal man. It's not going to use these. If you want to know, ask Asa. Ask him how that worked out. He'll let you know all about it. He used what was already in nature, combined with faith in the Father. And there were healings. But here we have popes here. We have a pope who's advocating for a vaccine. Who's advocating to say he took the shot. Lethal injection. Saying it must be done. I believe that ethically, everyone should take the vaccine. Ethical. That's, you know, we've got to get back to the ethics. Because this is the moral leader, the moral authority. It is an ethical choice because you are gambling with your health, with your life, but you're also gambling with the lives of others. And how is that? This is the hypocrisy when it comes to these vaccines. If you have been vaccinated, you are fine, right? You are good to go. Then why do I need a shot? Why do I need it? You're fine. My life is my life. If I'm going to die from this coronavirus, or whatever it may be, it is my life. Guess what? People die every day. Every single day. So why is it you're dictating on the people these shots? Why are you doing that? It's just like the mask. It is just like the mask. You're fine. You have your mask on. Why are you all in my face about wearing this mask? Why are you all in my face? That's the hypocrisy that they put out there with this vaccination. Yet when it comes to the deaths and the injuries, they fail to show it. They fail to talk about it. Now, all of this that the Vatican puts forth for the people, they set it forth and treat it, and people think about it as truth. All their doctrines, you know, all their teachings, you know, so much hypocrisy in it all. We'll say for like hellfire, for instance. Speaking of that, you know, I came across this one comedian, and I just knew right away when I seen it. I'm like, oh, you know what? You know, she's for like, you know, the, you know, LGBT rights or whatever. But you could see when I was listening to her how she was giving like a splattering of truth, but she was using it as an excuse to defy God. I'm going to pull this up right here. And this is her speaking. And you can just see how she's pushing the Christian hatred by, I don't know, how can I spin this? The Christian hatred, but in the eyes of Catholicism, so to speak. And I'm going to play this. It's a very, very short clip, about a minute. About a minute and 40 seconds. But here's this lady. She's, you know, over here terrorizing these Catholic kids, saying that there is no hell. There is no hell. But in their eyes, you know, Rome believes in, you know, purgatory. You know, eternal life in hellfire, where you're just going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. That's what they're teaching these kids. But she was going out telling them that, hey, there is no hell, which in, according to their teachings, the way they teach it, like, no, that's not the way they teach it. We know about hellfire, the end time, you know, the grave, then going on to the second death, which is eternal life in hellfire. No, not that's not their teaching. That's totally different. When that hellfire comes from God out of heaven, that's it. You are done. That is it. That lake of fire burns you up. That is it. There is no returning. There is no screaming and wilding and pain. That is it. It is over for you. So she's putting that spin on it, but the kids are like, no, 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 this is what we've been taught. No, this is different from what you're saying. So I'm going to play this right quick and just listen to how this is going to be used later on to further attack God's people, which, or to bring about that hatred towards God's people. All right, let's see if I can get the volume up here. All right.
If you're in the range of my voice right now, and you're someone who believes and fears hell, let me release you of that fear right now. There is no hell. I promise you. I promise you. I mean, what do I know? But I believe it with my whole heart. I mean, I was in New York before COVID. I was in New York, and some kids were leaving. A Catholic school had just let out, and they were leaving with their, you know, the kids were walking out of the school, and I couldn't help myself. I go, there's no hell. And one boy looked back, he goes, what? I go, I'm an adult, and I'm telling you, I promise you, there is no hell. And the friend I was with said, you can't tell other people's kids there isn't hell. I was like, I guess, but like, I don't, what am I ruining hell for them? But if you are listening to me and you fear hell, please let me release you of it. And I promise you're not going to be a crueler person because you don't believe in hell. It feels good to be good. It feels good to be kind, you know? And you're still going to make the same mistakes either way. But I promise you that if there's hell, may God strike me dead right now.
And you see how they do that? You see how they, you know, push that to get, to kind of dare to tempt God. Well, if God is real, then if strike me down right now. And because it doesn't happen right then and there, then they continue to push their doctrine, continue to push their beliefs. And even how she spun it, like, I don't know. Yes, you can know. Open up a Bible and find out. You can know. You can know exactly the truth about hellfire. Continue on.
God.
And that's how she ends it, because it didn't happen right then and there, that God did not, you know, in her life, right then and there, that she can go on and on and on and live the life that she lives, or continue to teach and talk about, you know, hellfire in that manner, or anything that she believes in, not understanding his love, not understanding his truth and his mercy. Obviously, she'd never experienced it. But to sit right there and say that to kids. And the kids are innocent. They're being, you know, brought up in a Catholic church. So this is what they're being taught. This is what they're being taught. So that goes back to their parents. This is what they're being taught. But for her to say that to these kids and spin it like that, you can see how they can use that in the future. You can see how they're using that now. Right now. To hate the Christian. This is how they say, well, this is what your God says. They'll say, I always say, you're a God, you're a God, you're a God, you're a God. He's the God of all. He's seen and unseen. He created you, he created me. And he's granting you mercy and opportunities for repentance. For repentance. And you make a choice who you're going to serve. You make a choice who your God is going to be. Is it going to be the God of heaven? Was going to be the God of this earth. And it's sad that so many have chosen. Yeah, I'm an adult. I'm an adult. Just read an article about an 84-year-old pup who's a well-aged adult. And being an adult means nothing, absolutely nothing. Out of the mouth of babes, you hear Brother Nick speak that often, out of the mouth of babes. And God will use anyone of his choosing. Anyone. So just being an adult means absolutely nothing. There are plenty of times that my kids are correcting me when I was in the wrong. Plenty of times. So, I mean, this is what they're using, and the comments don't make it any better, because all it does is just stir up more hatred. I mean, it's like these evangelicals who are coming out here, or people who actually believe in eternal life and hellfire, who are coming, you know, they're attacking her. That gives her a reason to say, look at these Christians. Look at how they are. Or they're evil, they're hating me, I thought they was love. I mean, they're pretty much doing what the Westboro does. in the same manner. And this is what's being portrayed. It is showing and portraying Christianity, true Christianity, in a false light. In a false light. And this is where Catholicism comes into play. Our moral authority, the popes. I mean, brethren, there is so much going on right now. But I believe Sister White speaks about that. I believe she speaks about those two great deceptions. I think GC talks about that, about Sunday sacredness and the belief of the immortality of the soul, which if you believe eternal life and hellfire, then you have to believe in an immortality of the soul. Believing that the soul is going to continue to burn for eons and just never die. Oh, this is God of love and mercy, but this is what he does to people who just finish a short life on this earth. That they're just going to go to hellfire and burn. And the comments back it up. I mean, I'm just reading some of these things. These people are just on her. They are on her so hard. And they are ones who are saying that they're a Christian. But in the way that they are approaching, I mean, if you're going to do something, at least, you know, you can share some verses or something to, you know, show her, educate her. Because she said in right there, that I don't know. Because obviously she does not know. So it needs to be taught. It needs to be expressed. You know, our actions say so much. But our words speak volumes. Our words condemn, and our words justify. But praise God, but she has mercy. She has opportunity to see, to know, and to understand who God really is. Who he really is. His love. His truth and his mercy. All right, I want you guys talking about in here. I see y'all got like a little, I haven't followed the text chat too much. Well, yeah, man, when it comes to all the, you know, Q and all that good stuff, man, don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in it. I don't know what, you know, the thread is going on, but don't get caught up in it. A lot of these, again, you know, Trump said in the beginning, man, it's going to drain the swamp and remove all this, remove all of that. You know, next week is going to speak volumes. And in me, I see it's going to be a grand deception. A grand deception. Up to and leading up to the actual inauguration day. With all those troops in position, they're going to do something. And this is just me, just my thinking. I can't, you know, prove it or anything like that. But the way they're painting, you know, Trump and with his beliefs and painting him as a terrorist, I just see some type of false flag they're going to do with even more people, you know, patriots, to go in and do something and give the military a reason to take him out. And say that, oh, look at these, you know, conservatives, and we knew it, you know, they, all these MAGA people, they are terrorists, and they came up here with guns. I came across one earlier where they just pulled up a guy who was going through one of the checkpoints, and he had guns and ammo. I mean, despite all the posted signs saying, hey, no firearms, none of this, you know, how will this one guy get singled out, and he brings, you know, guns and ammo through the checkpoints. So they're looking for reasons to continue to attack. Be on guard. Be on guard. Be diligent. We're going to see some strange events in the coming days, brothers and sisters. We're going to see some. I believe next Sabbath we're going to have some interesting conversations. Very interesting. Between what is going to transpire next week in the coming days leading up to this inauguration. We're going to see some strange developments. As Sister White even said in SOP, strange, because they are strange. You just look at them like, what is going on? What is going on? I mean, I just got so many, you know, articles that I look at throughout the day, news stories, and you just look back and just scratch your head and like, what do you begin with some of this stuff? What do you begin? I mean, Sister Martha, she sends me like a lot of good videos, a lot of them. Just look back and I just shake my head. Like, what is all this stuff about? What is going on? She also sent me one. She might have not sent it to me. I don't know. Where did I get this from? But I'm going to close out with this one here. It was this small video. It's a very, like a short clip, probably like a minute, about Biden and these FEMA camps that are setting up. Yeah, it's like a minute 22. So I'm going to play this right quick, and I'm going to close this out. It's almost 5 o'clock hour. All right, let me see if I can get this to play. All
right,
here it is.
All right, guys, this is incredibly serious, and you need to pay attention, right? So we've been talking about FEMA camps for a long time. We know that's the plan. We know they're going to round you up, and they're going to disarm you, and they're going to forcefully vaccinate you, and they're going to put you in a camp. Possibly execute you, I don't know. All I do know is they're going to put you in a camp, and they're going to use any excuse they can do to it, right? This just came out after we have President Trump on the 11th signing the emergency declaration, which gives control to FEMA in the event that they need to coordinate disaster relief efforts or prevent a catastrophe in D.C., right? Now you have Biden coming out, this article published maybe 20 minutes ago, saying that he's going to use FEMA and the National Guard to establish vaccine clinics across the country. Whatever they tell you they're going to do, it's not what they're doing. They're going to murder people. This is the beginning of it. You need to wake up right now. This is not a joke. Q is not going to save you. Trump is not fighting the deep state. Trump is an actor who is playing a role, the symbolic death of nationalism when he leaves office. Nothing more. He is a puppet, just like Biden. They are following orders. That's it. You will be murdered by them if you don't stand up and fight.
So when you see things like that, you know, they want to keep the fear going. But when I, you know, come across these articles, I like to bring awareness to see what the people are thinking, what the mainstream is pushing, to bring the awareness and for you to be prepared. Again, there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be afraid. We know who is still in control. It is God. And God alone. They can push this and say that, but God is still in control. And if he allows us to pass, then so be it. Then so be it. We've been knowing things like this are going to happen for a long time. Concerning FEMA camps, concerning the vaccines, we knew all of this. If these days are coming, and here it is, then it's time to stand guard and stand your ground. And stand in the faith. So it is the top o'clock. Top of the hour. It's top o'clock. Got a little tongue twisted there. But I'm going to drop my mic. I'm going to post those links that I shared in the Telegram. And it is time for Brother Sean to take the mic. So without further ado, I'm going to drop my mic. And next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Sean. Is he ready? Yep, he's here. All right. Have a blessing, everyone.